In our walk through the book of Ephesians this morning, so if you will grab a Bible and turn to chapter 2, and this morning we're going to be looking at verses 11 through the end of the chapter, which Mike read for us. Thank you for doing that, brother. I want to say good morning to you all. Thank you for being here, especially if you are visiting, a guest here. We're glad that you're here. Good to see you all. Thank you for making the choice to worship the Lord together. We are just a congregation that strives to please the Lord. This morning's lesson is going to be a little bit shorter because of some things we're going to share at the end of the services. So I want to try to do justice at the same time to the passage before us. Up to this point, chapter 1 into chapter 2, verse 10, Paul has been sharing with us, talking about how we have peace with God through Jesus. But this morning, beginning in 2:11 down to the end of chapter 3, Paul is going to show us how we have peace with each other through Christ. So the next couple of lessons are really going to be focused on that, how God made us one body in Christ. You'll notice in verse 11 that Paul is specifically addressing the Gentiles here. I don't think we can really appreciate the book of Ephesians, especially chapters 2 and 3, without understanding the perspective that the Gentiles had when they would have heard this book. I remember that a Gentile was just basically a non-Jew. And remember in the book of Acts, when Paul would go into the synagogues, many times he was preaching to Jews, but also to God-fearing Gentiles. Well, as a Gentile, a non-Jew, they were basically outsiders looking in. So whenever they read the law, the prophets, the parts of the Old Testament that had to do with the promises about the Messiah, all of that was told from a Jewish perspective. And so as a Gentile, yeah, you could benefit from hearing that, you know, learn how to serve this God. But again, you are an outside looking in. But Ephesians tells us that as Gentiles through Christ, you are insiders looking out. And so I want us to understand that. In Acts chapter 13, Paul goes to the city of Antioch of Pisidia, and he preaches the gospel in the synagogue specifically, and first of all, to the Jews. And then the next Sabbath, everyone came together again, more people than before, and the Jews became jealous seeing the crowds, and then Paul said, I'm going to go to the Gentiles. And at the end of the chapter, it says the Gentiles rejoiced because the grace of God had been offered to them. And so we need to understand and appreciate the perspective that the Gentiles had that chapter 2, verses 11 and 12 talk about, how they were at once separate from Christ. So let's begin there. Verse 11 says, therefore, remember that formerly you Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by the so-called circumcision, which is performed in the flesh by human hands, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. He calls the Gentiles, quote, uncircumcision. This was, number one, a mark of exclusion. The circumcision was assigned specifically for the Israelites, given to them of the covenant that had been passed down, beginning with Abraham. And more than that, it became a term of contempt. Whenever a Jew called a Gentile, you uncircumcised, that was an insult, basically, of contempt. And so you are excluded. And that's what he goes on to say. He says that the Gentiles were separate from Christ. They were excluded from the nation of Israel. They were strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God. Notice that when we are separate from Christ, when we are excluded from God's promises and we are without God, the ultimate end of that is we don't have any hope. We don't have any hope without Christ. But the book of Ephesians is about how we are in Christ, and so therefore we have hope. All of this, of course, is from the perspective of Israel's covenant that God made with them. God chose them as His people. And so God, as a part of that covenant, He chose them to bring about the Messiah, the promised Christ that would come. Really quickly, I have up here Romans chapter 9. Here Paul describes the privilege, really, that the Jews had as being God's special people. Romans chapter 9, verse 4, He says, the Israelites to whom belong the adoption as sons and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the temple service and the promises, whose are the fathers and from whom is the Christ according to the flesh, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. And in John chapter 4, verse 22, Jesus says to the Samaritan woman, salvation is from the Jews. And so he's writing to the Gentiles here and basically saying, you guys were excluded from that just because you weren't born into this family of Abraham. You were excluded just because of your ethnic status. And what we need to understand as we come to this text is that it may be hard for us to see ourselves here, but this is us. You and I probably, most likely, are not of Jewish descent. You and I are Gentiles. And so this passage is directly addressing us, how we were once in this same situation. We didn't have any parts of the promises that God made to Israel. The promises he had made about the Messiah, we didn't have any part of that because we weren't born into this covenant. Any Israelite, he didn't choose this covenant. He was just born into it. And so the Gentiles were excluded simply because of their ethnicity. Now, we don't live in a world that makes, you know, a distinction between Jew and Gentile today. There's really no reason to do that. And so, again, it's hard for us to see us in this passage. But imagine for a minute that you are a minority. Most of us are not minorities, ethnically speaking here. But imagine that you are, and that you're excluded from partaking in certain activities or certain things. It's not obviously a direct parallel to Jew and Gentile, because Jews were the minorities here. But imagine that you are just excluded just because of your ethnic status. And that's kind of the situation that they were in. This is us. We are Gentiles. But Paul goes on to describe what has changed in Christ. That Christ, through his work on the cross, when he came to this earth, he brought peace between Jew and Gentile. In verse 13, he says, but now in Christ Jesus, and we've noted before that this phrase, in Christ, is so key to the book of Ephesians. It's about the blessings we have in this relationship with Christ. In Christ Jesus, you who formerly were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who are far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. Notice that three times in these verses, verses 14 through 16, three times Paul says that both groups, speaking of Jew and Gentile distinction, both were made into one. And that's the key to this text, is that both groups were brought into one body, into one new man, into one church that he describes as being the body of Christ. Think about this from a broad perspective, not just limited to the book of Ephesians, but go all the way back to the book of Genesis. And sin brought conflict into relationships between people. Back in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve ate the fruit, immediately they started blaming each other. And they kind of passed that down to their children. Cain killed Abel, his brother. And from that point forward, the conflict just grew and grew into the point in chapter 11 where God separates mankind because of their pride, building the Tower of Babel. And so the point is that sin creates conflict and drives wedges between people. We see that in our relationships with each other. We see that in other people's relationships. But what Christ does is he brings us as people together through him and through the cross. And not just people of one ethnic race, but people of every nation. We're going to talk more about this tonight as we look at chapter 3 of Ephesians. But quickly, if you go to Genesis chapter 12, remember the promise that was given to Abraham? The promise that ultimately would be fulfilled in Jesus? The promise was, in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So even way back in the book of Genesis, we see a promise that the blessings wouldn't just be to Abraham's family, but they would be to every family on the nation of the earth, Jew and Gentile. So what God is doing through Christ is undoing what sin has done throughout the history of mankind. This was God's plan all along. And so what God did is he broke down that barrier, that dividing wall between Jew and Gentile. He describes it as a wall in verse 14 of Ephesians 2. He broke down this barrier of the dividing wall. And it's specifically identified in verse 15 as the law of commandments. I believe this is speaking of the Mosaic law. That what it was that divided Jew and Gentile was specifically the law that God gave Moses and the covenant that he made with his people Israel at Mount Sinai. That was what divided the people of God versus the people who were just excluded. In Christ, God has broken this down. It's described as being hostile, or your translation may say the enmity. He broke down the enmity of this. The word enmity kind of carries with it the idea of hostility, of contempt for one another. And I think that's part of the idea, but really the root idea is that just this division. And it really did create hostility between Jew and Gentile. Again, the Jews called those Gentiles, you guys are just uncircumcised. Kind of an insult, a label there. But it went the other way too. The Gentiles looked down on the Jews just as much for their strange ideas about serving one God and these ritual practices that they had of sacrifice and those kinds of things. But God, in Christ, broke that hostility down. Notice the purpose of this dividing wall. Why did God have this dividing wall to begin with? Well, it was God's plan, obviously, to have this law. But in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 19, Paul mentions what the purpose of this dividing wall was. Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, why the law then? It was added because of transgressions, having been ordained through angels by the agency of a mediator, until, and this is what I want you to notice, until the seed would come to whom the promise had been made. Now in Galatians chapter 3, the promise that he's talking about is what we just read in Genesis chapter 12 about in you, the families of the earth will be blessed. And so the law was added as a temporary arrangement to bring people under sin, to bring them to recognize that they were in sin, they needed forgiveness, they needed God, until the point where Jesus would come, that seed would come, to whom the promise had been made. And so the purpose, really, was to prepare for and to preserve the promise of the Messiah. The law itself, the Ten Commandments, the sacrifices, they were not intended to last forever. And so Paul says that they really were brought to an end. The language that he uses in Ephesians chapter 2 to describe the breaking down of the wall, he uses the word abolished. That he abolished in his flesh that law in verse 16, that he put to death the enmity on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, not only were our sins nailed to the cross, but the law was also nailed to the cross. That the law reached its end, it reached its fulfillment, and so therefore it is no longer standing between us and God. One thing we need to understand when we come to this text is Paul does not say that Christ abolished all law. He didn't say that. We still have the law of Christ today. And we can also understand that the law of Moses, even though it's not, in effect today, so to speak, that it is still useful for us to see the character of God and how God has prepared us. And we're studying through the book of Leviticus right now as a congregation. And we're seeing that. We're seeing the usefulness of the law ultimately to point to Christ. What Paul is saying here is that that has been brought to an end. It is no longer what we are required to keep in order to be pleasing to God. And so if you and I if we try to go back to the old covenant and submit ourselves to the old covenant, what we are doing is we're inserting this division again. And ultimately, we're undoing what Christ has done on the cross. Because through the cross, God has put this to death, the law here. And so, in verse 17, he says, as a result, breaking down this barrier that divided Jew and Gentile, he came and he preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who are near. The far away, and by the way, this is a quotation from Isaiah chapter 57, talking about how God would bring his people back from exile. But here, those that are far away are those Gentiles, you and me, that were at a distance from the law, and from a distance we were outside looking in. But he preached peace to us and preached peace to those who were near the Jews and brought us together into one body. If we wanted to visualize this, what it looks like, before Christ, this is the situation. We had Jews over here. Those were the ones that were near just because of the nearness of the covenants. And the Gentiles were the ones that were far off. They were excluded. And right between, they had the law dividing them. Now, a Gentile could convert to a Jew. He could be a proselyte. But, you know, there's still that dividing wall there. In order to get to God, to be pleasing to God, he would have to go through the law, is really what he's talking about. So the law is what divided people. But the situation changes in Christ. In Christ, we have Jews and Gentiles, but then being brought together through the cross, through Jesus, being brought together into one body, which Paul identifies as the church. And that's what this whole book is about. How you and I can be a part of this church. We can have the blessings that we find in the body of Christ together. And the point is that the difference between Jew and Gentile no longer makes any difference at all. Galatians chapter 3, again, we were here just a few minutes ago. But if you go back to chapter 3 of Galatians in verse 28, this verse almost reads like it can be in the book of Ephesians. Because he says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free man, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And that, I think, has very practical applications to us today. Now, how do we relate to that today? Ethnic distinctions, the color of your skin, make absolutely no difference in the body of Christ. We are all equal in the body of Christ. We're on equal standing before the Lord, and therefore we have equal blessings in Christ. But going back to Ephesians chapter 2, what Paul does at the end of the chapter is he, again, speaks to us Gentiles, and he says, you now belong. This chapter is not just a theological treatise trying to help us understand, you know, the details of how God is bringing this unity of his plan into fruition. The point of the book of Ephesians is to help us appreciate the fact that we can now be a participant in this body. That you and I can now be one in Christ together. And so he says in verse 18, for through him we both have our access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. The result of Christ's work for us Gentiles through the cross is this. And this is kind of a summary of everything we've seen in this text. That we were far off, separate from Christ, distanced from him, but then we are brought near by the blood of cross, by the blood of Christ on the cross. That we were divided from the Jews, and now we're reconciled in one body here. That we were strangers to the covenants of promise, but now we're not strangers anymore. We're citizens of this one kingdom. That we were excluded from the covenants, but now we are included as a part of his household, as a part of his family. That we had no hope no hope at all, but then we have access to God, that we can come to God through the Holy Spirit in verse 18. And then here's the amazing thing. What he says about us in verse 12 is that we were without God. But then in verse 22, now we're being built as a dwelling of God, a temple of God. That idea of being without God relating to the Gentiles doesn't mean that they were atheists, because they served many gods, but they were without the one true God. And what's amazing about this is that, remember, in the Old Covenant, there was no stranger, no foreigner who could possibly enter into the temple of God. He was just completely excluded. But now we Gentiles, we can not only enter into the temple, but he says we are the temple of God. And so we need to understand the blessings and appreciate what we have together in Christ. The result of this is that we belong to him. And there are four pictures in this text which help us understand the unity that we have together. In verse 16, he makes us one body with all of its different parts. Think about the human body and all the functions that it has. It works together as a unit, and that's the church. We are one nation under God, indivisible. And that's obviously a quote from the Pledge of Allegiance that we say today. But how does that relate to us as a people of God today? We are one nation under God, and we are indivisible. In verse 19, we are one family, one household. And then again, we are one temple that belongs to the Lord. The Lord is dwelling in us. So how do we bring this chapter down to us? What does it mean for us? Well, there's one thing I want to point out as we conclude this morning. This passage should impress upon us the importance of peace among God's people. That you and I, if we are one body, if we are one nation, if we are one family and one building, one temple, then we need to be at peace with one another. What God did for us through Christ was more than just save us from our sins. He brought us together. That was his plan. And so if Christ is our peace, and if Christ established peace, and if Christ preached peace, then who are we to insert something into this body which disrupts this peace? The book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3 will tell us to be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And so chapters 2 and 3, really 1, 2, and 3, tell us why that is so important. Why do we need to preserve the peace that we have? It's because that's what God came, that's what Jesus sent Christ to do for us. Unfortunately, God's people have not always been known as a people of peace. We see that in the histories of local congregations. We see that in a lot of different ways. We have many times not been known as the people of peace. But we have a role. We have a calling. And that is to be the one people that God wants us to be. We are one in Christ. And the good news of this passage is that if you are excluded from Christ, if you're not included in this body, no matter how far away from God you might be, no matter how foreign you are to the Bible, no matter how distant from God or from the people of God you are, you can be a fellow partaker in these blessings with us through Christ. If you come to him, if you acknowledge that he is the Son of God, you're willing to confess that, repent of your sins, be immersed in water to have your sins forgiven, then you can enjoy these spiritual blessings and be one in the body of Christ. And we're going to sing a song in just a moment to invite you, if you have not become a Christian, to do that. But maybe you have some other spiritual need. Maybe you have something you need to let the congregation know about that we can pray for you, encourage you about. Whatever need you have, come to the front as we stand to encourage you and sing. There's a